All right, Monday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in the mighty name of Jesus. Let me see who is in the Rumble chat tonight. JD Joy is on. Skunk 71 is on. Christopher Arnott is on. Bob Corley is on. Hotshot Insights is on. Bud Dave with the barf bags is on. Alligator Alcatraz is on. Mike Griffith is on. Scooter Magruder is on. Sexy Pony's on. Jules 21 Hours is on. General Plowman is on. Snag Dog is on. Salty Gonads is on. Bird Nerd's on. Volvo 960 is on. Gloyd Shaw is on. Conservative Waffle is on. Let me see. Scrolling down. Confederate One is on. Peg McGroin is on. TJT1 is on. Veronica 18201 is on. Dead Plan is on. Jim Brody's on. I already said that one. Buckeye Nut 1968 is on. Greg Nine Mon is on. Spoken 007 is on. Let me see here. Gritterdun is on. Uncle Wally is on. K4 VMS is on. Biggie 926 is on. Conservative Waffle is on. Agravain is on. Let me grab two or three more. DK Jackson is on. LA 106 Times is on. One more. Lady Vu is on. Appreciate you guys. Love each and every one of you. Just real quick, I know the title of the show is Trump Zelensky 2, but since there's no real as of the time of this show that I saw, as I've been scanning across social media, no real big announcements out, you know, of settlements or anything like that coming from the meeting at the White House today with Volodymyr Zelensky and all of the EU leaders, as well as Keir Starmer, not in the EU because of Brexit, which is what they should have done, which is what they all should do. But anyway, so no real announcements coming out of that, but just a few thoughts on it real quick. And I was talking to Aaron about this as we were watching the pregame videos. You know, all of them are giving Trump, because they have to. This just shows you their lack of integrity, their lack of moral fortitude, their lack of a spine. They're giving Trump all this credit for doing the things they're unwilling to do. I mean, you had Mark Rutte, I think it's Rutte is actually the correct way to pronounce it. I asked a friend of mine from the Netherlands. But anyway, Rutte, who of course is the former WEF award-winning member of the World Economic Forum, former prime minister of the Netherlands, who tried to confiscate and really did confiscate up to 40% of their farms for environment ESG purposes so that they could control the food. And then, of course, leveraging in the one world commerce system. I'm not going to dive into that right now. But anyway, that's who this guy is. And suddenly he's like Papa Trump. Remember, he was the one who called Trump Daddy Trump, because these guys are chameleons. And they will change colors on a dime for political expediency, whatever is beneficial for them. Because if they wanted this peace, why couldn't they all come together and negotiate it themselves? I mean, Ukraine is not a problem for us. Remember Zelensky in the first White House meeting? You have an ocean. You do not have to worry about this for now, says Volodymyr Zelensky. Well, it's their concern. And I mean, Bannon went on an epic tirade today about it. You know, if you're so concerned about it and you want, because the two arguments basically are Ukraine becoming part of the EU, Ukraine becoming a part of NATO, or it being basically a vassal state of the United States or a vassal state of the EU. And it's really funny, for all this Russia stuff, what Russia wants is for the Ukraine to be a vassal state of the United States. That's what they actually want, because they don't trust the European Union, because the European Union's plan for the Ukraine is the 30-year war. Russia loses. They somehow cause the economic collapse of Russia, which will never happen. Russia has all the oil they need, all the rare earths they need, and all the farming they need to not even be part of the global economy. So you'll never bankrupt Russia. They're three times bigger than the UN. The EU. It doesn't matter geographically speaking. So all of their goofy plans of the Mark Rutz of the world, the Starmers, the Macrons, the Mertzes from Germany, even the Georgia Maloney, she gets credit for being a conservative. But right at the moment when it's time to stand, Georgia always collapses, although she does seem to like Donald Trump. But anyway, so that you get like Rutz saying these things, Macron saying these things, Maloney saying these things. Great job. We really appreciate Donald Trump. Well, we're almost 4 years into this war. Why didn't they do it? Why did they do it 10 months ago? Why weren't they doing any of this? Instead, it was like more war, more war, more war. And of course, now the polls from Harry Enten, also in the pregame, show that 70% of Ukrainians don't want the war to continue, and they want a negotiated peace. Now, what does a negotiated peace mean? We already know what it means. Everybody watching this podcast already knows. You're red-pilled or you heard it on this podcast. A negotiated peace means the Donbass goes to Russia. And that's just the way that it is. And by the way, they can negotiate or not negotiate. The Donbass is going to the Russians. So you negotiate, Donbass goes to the Russians. You don't negotiate, what's going to happen next? Donbass goes to the Russians. Because, Aaron's laughing, Donetsk and Luhansk are already in Russian control. It's already over. Yeah, Volodymyr Zelensky, Putin is going to try to take Kiev. Well, no, he's not. No, he's not. He already has what he wants. Thank you. Because Luhansk and Donetsk, the breakout provinces, all speak Russian. They were the ones bombed by Ukraine. No, Tom, you just misspoke. You meant Russia. No, no. Bombed by Ukraine, their own country. That would be like us bombing Nebraska. Who's bombing Nebraska? United States military. Well, that's what was happening with the Azov Battalion and Volodymyr Zelensky. There it is right there. You split the Donbass in half. It's Luhansk and Donetsk and Luhansk. That's it. That's all that they, that's what they're going to get. It doesn't matter whether you negotiate or not. Aaron, you can leave that up for me. I like to have that. So anyway, Ukraine, Kiev's way over there in the northwest corner, well, the northwest edge of Ukraine. But anyway, so that's never going to be invaded. Yeah, they're going to lob missiles in there because the United States is funding and providing the logistics and basically firing the missiles into Russia. That's how dangerous this is. People want to talk about the Bay of Pigs and in the 60s. It doesn't even compare to what's going on right now as far as the edge of World War III and nuclear global thermal nuclear war. Because we have been providing the guidance systems, the logistical support, the satellites, Starlink, and not Starlink is military communications, the satellites for firing intercontinental ballistic missiles have all come from the United States, whether Starlink and Elon Musk, which he gave the Ukraine for free, or the actual satellite technologies from the United States military. That we've been firing all those missiles. And Putin put out, we played the video on the podcast. Putin talked about it. We know it's the United States. I mean, whether it's Storm Shadow missiles out of the UK or whether it's ATACMS out of the United States, it's our ballistics is firing them into Russia. Putin knows it. We know it. Everybody knows it. So that's how close we've been to nuclear war. And again, I could go into a myriad of the reasons. I mean, again, it's not Slava Ukraine, Russia bad, Ukraine good, Ukraine bad, Russia good. And none of it is true. You have Slavic entities, whether it's Belarus, whether it's Slovakia, whether it's Slovenia, whether it's Bosnia, whether it's Kosovo, all these different countries. It doesn't matter. Azerbaijan, any of the country, any of the countries you want to name. They want to fight each other. That's what they've always done. And Aaron, guess what they're always going to do?
Fight.
They're going to continue to fight.
Yeah.
That's just the way that it is. I mean, you can intervene all you want with Jordan and with Lebanon and with Egypt and with Israel and with Gaza and with Palestine, and they're still going to fight because they want to fight. That's just the way. Again, I love to use my dog as an example. There's a hog. He's going after it. There's nothing you can do about it. Not a thing. Train them better. You know, there's no training you can do. It's a prey drive. He's going. They fight. That's the way that it is. And you're like, well, you know, people can change. Yeah, rarely. Narrows the way if you find it. So it's very rare. So sometimes it does, but it has nothing to do with our intervention. And we don't belong intervening in this. And the only reason why this war began and people are starting to wake up for, you know, to those reasons is because in 2014, you had a U.S.-inspired color revolution, an instigated color revolution. Victoria Nuland, John McCain, Lindsey Graham, Jake Sullivan instigated a color revolution inside of the Ukraine. And that was already on top of an 11-country encroachment closer to Russia after we swore that we would never enlarge NATO towards Russia, and we enlarged NATO 11 times over towards Russia. So they're like, we need a demilitarized zone, and they want the Donbass. So that's, and they got the Donbass. It's already over. The only way to take the Donbass back is for the United States to mount a military assault. Anybody want that? I don't, and that's it. You have like Bolton, the idiot John Bolton, and all these people belie all logic. They go out and just say contradictory things to all logic. And there he's out there questioning all that Donald Trump's done. Well, then if he's questioning Donald Trump, then that would mean that he has some sort of credibility with accomplishments. Because credibility doesn't mean degrees or positions. It would mean accomplishments. Aaron, would you agree with that? That's what credibility means. Not degrees, not accomplishments, not the platitudes of other people, but actually accomplishing something. Right. So when you have Bolton out there criticizing Donald Trump, I don't think he understands what it means to come to an agreement with security. You know, to have Volodymyr Zelensky has these, you know, security concerns, and for him to meet these security concerns of Volodymyr Zelensky, I would understand because I am John Bolton, who has never accomplished anything. So you don't have the credibility to make that statement. What has John Bolton ever done? Nothing. Nothing. The man has never done a thing. He's never accomplished a thing. He's never had any sort of diplomatic success. He's never had any military success. He's never done anything except for successfully get positions that he fails at. That's what he's done. He successfully got positions that he fails at. And then he acts like he is an expert, although even though he's failed at everything that he has done, he has no credibility. So he's out there criticizing Trump. I don't think he understands what he means by, you know, security guarantees for Ukraine. I think he understands, Johnny. We all understand, Johnny. We really don't need your help, Johnny. We get it because you've never accomplished anything. Therefore, you don't have the credibility to criticize. Keep your mouth shut. Keep your mouth shut. It's just like I've had people throughout being a pastor at this church. I've been pastoring this church since 2003. Come up to me and they want to pastor the pastors. You want to pastor me? Okay, you want to pastor me? Okay, tell me about your pastoral success. We've never pastored a church. Oh, but you want to pastor the pastors? So you have no credibility, but yet you want to lend your expertise in an area of which you have none. See what I'm saying? And that's the way that John Bolton is, and that's what's happening. So anyway, it's just very, very odd when you have Mark Rutte say, you know what, we want to give Trump the credit. For these attempts at peace, he started in February. We really appreciate it. Now, if you really appreciated it, then why didn't you do it in February? I mean, if you notice, if Aaron, I'm not asking you to do this, Aaron, but if you broke out this map from, if you went, you know, 30,000 feet up in the air from this map, looking down like you're in an airplane, and you can see all the borders, is the United States anywhere near this? No. We're separated by the Atlantic Ocean. And if you traveled all the way across Russia and China and Japan, then we're separated by the Pacific Ocean. So there's nothing they can do. So we don't really have any concerns. They're the ones who have the concerns. They're the ones about if Putin takes Ukraine, then Poland's next. Yeah, right. Hungary's next. Yeah, right. And Putin has no aspirations for any of that. He has enough geographical space. Anybody ever, if Aaron panned back, Russia is huge. You ever looked at Russia on the map? Huge, absolutely huge. And by the way, where did Russia actually begin? In Ukraine. The country of Russia was founded in Ukraine. So, I mean, it's, you know, that, we can get into all that too. But anyway, it's just funny that Rutte is saying, you know what? Now, the chairman or whatever you call it of the NATO is in charge of NATO, director of NATO, whatever it's called. But anyway, it's just funny that he's now giving Trump all of these accolades for doing what he was unwilling to do himself. You should actually be sitting back and with your tail between your legs, with your head hung low, saying, man, I wish I would have done this because this is the right thing to do. But for 3 years, he did nothing. This reminds me of Joe Biden. Borders wide open, 15,000 illegals crossing every day. And then lo and behold, January 1st of 2024, when the campaign begins, he comes up with a border security bill that doesn't secure the border. I mean, it's kind of funny, isn't it, how all of this works and these people never actually accomplish anything. And I mean, Republicans or Democrats, they do. I mean, as a devout registered Republican, I'm just saying that most Republicans accomplish absolutely zero, too. And when they're in power, we still go trillions of dollars worth, trillions of dollars into debt. So I just found that, you know, very interesting contradiction on all their parts. Nothing appeared to be accomplished today specifically, but all of this is major accomplishments. And Trump keeps securing one peace deal after another. I believe he's up to seven now. So people need to give credit where credit is due. And of course, Bolton's like, Trump is just trying. He's just aspiring to get the Nobel Peace Prize. Oh, John, what have you ever done? Maybe if Trump is doing that, but yet he's securing peace deals. Is the Azerbaijan war over right now? Oh, yeah. What did John Bolton do? Nothing. I mean, is India-Pakistan conflict over right now? Yeah. John Bolton will say, well, it's over for now. Okay, well, you never got to for now, yeah. John. So what have you ever accomplished yourself? You have Azerbaijan and Armenia no longer fighting. For the first time, let me see, how many years? 30? How many positions did bent over, ankle grabbing John Bolton have during those 30 years where he could have negotiated that peace deal? Did he? No. What he did was make sure that he funneled money to the people that he's bent over for, and that's the military industrial complex, to personally enrich himself and then write a book about it. That's who these people are. Just all about self-promotion, all about self-profiteering. That's all that it is. All right, now let's move on. We're going to do this. We're going to end the vaccines. You're like, Tom, what do you mean? Vaccines aren't really in front page news. If you don't think that they're front page news, you're right. They're not. But they should be because people are dying everywhere. Oh, we don't really hear about it. And I know that's not my audience. I'm just saying that's what a lot of people say. We don't really hear about it. Well, listen, a lot of people don't want to hear about it because they're talking about turbo cancers and myo and pericarditis, and I'm vaccinated. Duh, change the channel. Okay? Outside of Jesus, that's not going to save you if these things are coming for you. Now, a lot of people got vaccinated that appear to be perfectly fine, but I don't know if they are. I honestly don't know. But anyway, so let's get it. I've been wanting to talk about vaccines. I just did. I bought three stories. That's it. And Aaron knows. I'll be done with this in 10 minutes. 10 minutes. I mean, yeah. 10 minutes. We're going to be done. 9:22, 3 to 9:32. I'm done. That's it. 10 minutes worth of vaccine talk. That's it. Mm-hmm. All right. Aaron is doubting me. All right. Camus video. Shocking data from Japan and Australia exposes vaccine-linked excess deaths. Play for me.
And there's been, I'm not sure if you've seen, it's just coming out of Japan at the moment. It's only semi in print. But in Japan, they were able to take 20 million people and work out who had the vaccine and who didn't. Mm. And they were able to show highly significant that all the excess deaths were in the vaccinated group, that the non-vaccinated group had none. Now, all right, that's just one study in Japan. But last week...
Well, a study of 20 million people.
22 million people, yeah.
Yeah, it's not a bad study.
Last week, a very smart statistician in Australia sent me his paper that he's just publishing, so I won't mention all the details. Mm. But what he was able to show was that about 3 months after every splurge of a vaccine booster, mortality went up. And that's exactly the timing the Japanese found. They found that the peak mortality was 100 days after the vaccination, whatever the vaccine whatever it had. Then there's this amazing consistency now that's starting to come. Remembering that the Australian government had an inquiry into excess deaths and said there's nothing in it. It's all due to COVID. I mean, I tell you.
We know about.
Okay, I'm gonna need Aaron for this section because I'm gonna have to just bounce stuff off you, Aaron, for your own responses. Because it's very strange, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's odd that this just happens now. I mean, you roll out this vaccine in January of 2021, and all of this begins right then. Again, I'm not Aaron. Don't do it. Don't do it.
I'm waiting.
But again, when was that?
I said I'm waiting.
I know. He just wants to pull the trigger.
Yeah.
But I mean, we can show you. We've already shown you a myriad of slides. We have 20 of them.
Yeah.
That will show you that there were zero excess deaths during the pandemic. Zero. The excess deaths, in other words, these are deaths that never should have happened. Make sure that everybody knows that. It'd be like normally you have a million people. Every year in the United States, you have 1 to 1.2 million Americans die. Every year that happens. Every year. Until the vaccine rollout, and then it got higher. Not during COVID. During the vaccine rollout. After the vaccine rollout. Then it became higher. And it's happening. Where is it happening? In every heavily vaccinated country. Where is it not happening? In Africa. Where nobody took the vax. That's where it's not happening. Anybody hear any turbo cancers in Zimbabwe? Look at the turbo cancer problem in Zimbabwe. There aren't any. There isn't any. Why? Then nobody's vaxxed. They have like a 4% vaccination rate. I'm just making that up, but that's what it is. But lo and behold, in Australia, we got a 96% vaccinated rate. And again, in America, we're not very good either, by the way. And you have every right to question me. Don't take this the wrong way. The person who questioned me on this, someone did, because this is one of our devout watchers. And I'm not blasting you, but someone asked, Tom, are you sure that 80% of the American public got at least one jab? Yes, that is confirmed. 80% of this country got at least one vaccination. 80% of our country. Can you believe that? 80%. I mean, it never crossed Brent's mind to get vaccinated, Aaron's mind to get vaccinated. my mind to get vaccinated. Nope, we never crossed our mind.
No.
Never, not for 1 second, because Brent was going to that real strong Bible thumping church in Cincinnati. Wrong. That's why he's here. You know, he stumbled on one of my messages. He goes, that's our church. As they know, because that's who he is. Yeah. But anyway, so, but 80% of our country caved too. But listen to what is happening there. You're like, Tom, why do you read to us what they just said in the video? Because I show you the video, so it's somebody else saying it other than me. And these are all both those guys up there are doctors. And the guy on the right, if anybody was deep back into COVID, I used to watch this guy. He was very pro-vax, very pro-lockdown, very pro-masking. Now he's completely red-pilled and has actually come out and said that he was wrong. Yep. So I'll watch the guy, okay? You don't come out and say you're wrong, I'm out. If you're a church that never, I mean, you think of all, it just reminds me because I'm talking about Brent. All these churches that were once, twice, three times a lady masked, once, twice, three times a non-lady bent over, hoard vaccinations from their pulpits, lockdown services, Zoom services, lockdown their services, made everybody sit in COVID clumps, put stickers all over the floor saying stand 6 feet apart,
yep.
All those things. None of that, one of them has ever come out and said they're wrong. Not one. Not one church has ever come out and said they're wrong. Not one. I mean, everybody noticed that? Isn't that odd? Isn't the very essence of Christianity, Matthew 4:17, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Would you agree with that, guys?
Yeah.
Isn't that the essence of Christianity? Is to come out and say, you know what? I was wrong. I'm in need of a savior. Right? And nobody's come out and said they're wrong. And they hoard vaccinations that's killing people. Nobody's come out. I would say, you know what? If I hoard a vaccination that's killing people, I would come out and say, I'm sorry, I'm guilty of murdering people. It may not be pure murder, but culpable negligence. But I am negligent, and I pimp people to get that worthless vaccination. And now people are dead because of it. Oh, that's not happening in the United States. You must not be reading Edward Dowd, former BlackRock executive, statistical genius. Must not be reading the working class in America, about 32% of America. The excess death rate is through the roof. That means deaths that never should have happened. Normally, like I was saying earlier, you have on average in the United States roughly 1 million deaths per year, natural pseudo natural deaths. But I mean, a lot. There's murder included in that too. But 1.2 million deaths per year in the United States. Okay, excess deaths would be anything above that. Look at what's happening. And now, why is everybody covering it up? I mean, because they all push the vaccine, even Trump administration. The groundbreaking study from Japan, analyzing 20 million people. I'd say that's a good consortium.
Yeah.
Would everybody agree? 20 million people. It's no small study. Has revealed a disturbing trend. I got to hurry because I've only got 3 minutes to be done with the vaccination. Of course, I still got two more slides. Analyzing 20 million people has revealed a disturbing trend. All excess deaths. Aaron, what does all mean?
All.
Okay, so I want to make sure. That. What does it mean in the Greek?
All.
Okay, Latin?
All.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hebrew?
All.
English?
All.
Okay, just want to make sure.
Yep.
So all excess deaths in that 20 million, it's actually 22 million, 22 million people cohort, all the excess deaths were concentrated in the vaccinated group.
Oh.
That's weird. So everybody who died that shouldn't have was vaccinated.
Huh.
Because excess deaths means they shouldn't have died. Not a normal death. That's every one of them was vaccinated. So the people who died of a unknown cause, you know, I can't remember what province it is in Canada. I think it may be Calgary. It might be Calgary or Alberta. Calgary, Alberta, I think is all one. But I'm ignoramus when it comes to Canada. But anyway, one of the provinces, the number one cause of death is unknown. I wonder what year that started. Let me see. I'm going to try to figure it out. Oh, 2021. That's when VAIDS began. Remember, I mean, so that's when people don't have an immune system anymore. And then also you had, we used to have SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome. Now we have SADS, sudden adult death syndrome. We never heard that. Alberta, it was Alberta. Thank you, Aaron.
Yep.
Number one cause of death in Alberta? Unknown. That's interesting. Mm. How could you even have the balls to say that? I mean, I'm just curious. I mean, how do you have the chutzpah to say something like, it's unknown. Well, where did it all begin then? 2021. But anyway, back to Japan, where they just a small little cohort study of 22 million people. And every single person who died that shouldn't have died was vaccinated. While the unvaccinated showed no excess mortality at all. Weird, isn't it? It's kind of odd. The peak in fatalities occurred 100 days post-vaccination. That's odd. Aligning with the mechanism of the immune erosion. Huh. Oh, see, immunity isn't just about, your body attacking, respiratory viruses. It's about everything. It's about cancer. It's about, you don't want a hyperimmune response, which is what the vaccine causes. It causes your own body to attack itself because it actually produces, mRNA, it actually produces the cells that the body is now programmed to attack. You're like, well, does that make any sense, Tom? It doesn't. If you're vaccinated, you're just part of, you're on the hamster wheel, baby. You're an experimental rodent. That's how they looked at you. I don't look at you that way. I look at you as a soul in need of salvation or a soul that's already saved. That's how I look at you. It's vaxxed or unvaxxed. The peak in fatalities occurred 100 days post-vaccination. That's all, 22 million people. Aligning with mechanism of immune erosion. Now, a top Australian statistic. Hey, Aaron, you can put that one up side by side for me. Just want to show you. Here we are. Kind of weird. I mean, this is all coincidental. And it comes from the bastion of right-wing conservatism. ABC News is reporting. So here's Australia. Now a top Australian statistician, paper is now forthcoming, has uncovered the same exact pattern. A surge of deaths 3 months after each booster campaign. That's weird. Wouldn't they tell you? By the way, they all know, all the quote unquote experts like John Bolton, the peace expert, the peace expert, the war expert, the diplomatic expert who has never had any sort of war, diplomatic or peace success. Same thing with these experts, because they knew after every booster rollout and after the initial vaccine rollout, they saw the deaths go up. But did they do anything about it? No, you go back to Washington, D.C., it's all been proven. Just leave all this up for me. It's all been proven. What did they do? Because they had alarm bells going off because the vaccine rollout happened under the Biden administration, developed under warp speed under the Trump administration, rolled out under the Biden administration, under their vaccine mandates, which I could get into that too, but I won't. But it came out immediately. This vaccine is causing myocarditis. The vaccine is causing blood clots. This vaccine is causing excess mortality. Excess mortality meaning people dying that shouldn't die. And what did the White House do? They put out a press release. They put out a press release saying, stop the vax, stop the vax. No, of course not. They suppressed all the information about the harmful side effects of the vaccination, including death, so that people keep getting vaccinated. Tom, that doesn't make any sense unless you're a murderer. There you go. If they can abort you in the womb, they'll abort you outside the womb. That's who the modern Democratic Party is, which is the latest iteration of the Nazi Party. Now a top Australian statistician has uncovered the same pattern, a surge in deaths 3 months after each booster campaign. The consistency is undeniable and damning. Yet the Australian government, after a supposed inquiry, Aaron, they did an inquiry. Mm. Well, they do an inquiry.
Well, I mean that it's all inquiry, good.
Right? Because who else does inquiries? I mean, Belgium does. If Belgium does inquiries, it has to be perfect. I mean, they did an inquiry and dismissed all the data and said that it's just COVID.
Oh.
That's what they did.
Oh, all right.
I mean, again, during the epicenter, the hell storm that was COVID, right? The hell storm, bodies everywhere. There's bodies nowhere. But yet everybody believed it, including the church, which is still to this day disgusting. Unless if there was mass repentance, I'd be off the church right now. Judgment begins with the house of God, 1 Peter 4:17. But I digress. But they did their inquiry and dismissed XSS as just COVID. But during the epicenter of COVID, which was the most virulent variant? That would be the Alpha variant, which even though it was nothing more than a strong cold, allegedly killed the most people, even though it wasn't actually killing the people that they said that it killed. They just reassigned all deaths to COVID. But they did. I mean, that's all been proven already. But anyway, so they did this inquiry, and just like there's no such thing as long COVID, there is vaccines injured. People who still have COVID, COVID responsive, COVID symptoms, things like that, have no immune system left. It's called VAIDS. They don't have an immune system left, so they catch every cold and every flu, and everybody calls it COVID and calls it long COVID. And they have a hyperimmune response, so their body, get this, Aaron, get this, Brent, their body is actually continuing to make the X-spike protein that their body's attacking, causing a hyperimmune response, oftentimes in the heart lining, which is called myocarditis.
Yep.
Because guess where they thought that it was all going to stay? In your arm. But nobody checked because it was a DOD operation. Nobody checked because it's nanolipid particles who are the ones that deliver it all over the body. They're ushers. And the problem is that you have an immune system everywhere and cells everywhere, including your heart and your heart lining, which if they are programmed to attack a specific cell that your body is itself creating, you're attacking yourself, which is a hypoimmune response, causing heart inflammation. Here's the problem is your heart supposed to be pounding in this very specific area like a piston in an engine. Aaron, how does it work when the inside of an engine gets warped?
Yeah, it's not going to work.
Explode. I mean, you're going to explode. I mean, if you swell the inside of where your heart lined, that's pericarditis, your heart can no longer beat normally, so it's jammed in there and stuck. Yep. You have DeMar Hamlin collapsing on the NFL field.
Yep.
Hyperimmune response causing inflammation. Okay, you don't want that. So that's what's happening in Australia. But they did an inquiry and they just said, it's all COVID. But the most virulent variant was the Alpha variant, which was at the beginning, and basically nobody died of it. Then you had Delta, which was the second most virulent variant, and nobody died of that either. And then, by that time, the vaccine was out. And then everybody started dying of a scratchy throat and a runny nose called Omicron. More people in Australia died of Omicron than Delta and Alpha combined. Explain that to me. Aaron, don't worry. They did an inquiry.
Oh, okay.
The experts.
That's good.
And our overlords, who aren't experts at anything except for getting governmental positions while they're bent over. That's how they spend their whole life. I want everybody to picture this for now. I want to burn this into your brain. Everybody that you see outside of maybe 10 or 12 Republicans on Capitol Hill and Donald Trump and some of the people in his administration, all of them, like you think of zombie apocalypses and things like that, you know, World War Z, Walking Dead. I want you to think of everybody in Washington, D.C. are a bunch of people walking around with their hands around their ankles. That's what. What do I do next? I'll put on another mask. Right. That's who they are. Anything. They will do anything to make their $150,000 a year. Anything. Just like almost everybody in the evangelical church. What do I got to do to keep my middle class job? I want you to wear number one mask, wear number two mask, and now cover it with an N95. Bend over, take your vaccine turkey baster up the rear end 12 times. Anything. I'll do anything to keep my $57,000 a year job. Anything. And you know, I think I'm demeaning middle class jobs. Folks, I was a cop for 25 years. I'm demeaning the middle class. No. You know how many vaccinations I would have, Aaron will answer this for you. Aaron, how many vaccinations do you think I would have taken to keep my SO job?
Zero.
Yeah, 0.0 with extreme prejudice.
Yep.
Extreme prejudice. I mean, you're like, Tom, you've probably always been a troublemaker. A little bit. A little bit. Not always. Listen, I follow orders. I mean, I do. Am I one to blindly follow orders? No. Have I had my fair share of conflicts in law enforcement? Yes. Have I been in screaming matches with other deputies on calls? Yes. But I mean, it is what it is. I should say a screaming match. I think it was only one. But anyway, so I've never been that person. I never will be that person. I'm not dying on my knees. I'm not. I'm never going in. The FBI comes to my door. I'm not going in. You're like, Tom, that's a big bust. I'm telling you right now, I'm not going in. They come to my door with the brown shirts on, and you know what? They want to move me into what Alex Jones calls your 250 square foot coffin, that their new world, their 15 minute cities, apartment complexes that hold 30,000 people. I'm not going. Are you? I'm not going. Period. Yeah, there's a hill that you have to make a stand. That's it. I'm not going. The FBI comes knocking on my door. Okay, I'm not going.
Yeah.
We need you to accompany us to our office. Yeah, good luck with that. I'm not going. I'm not taking your vaccinations. I'm not putting your mask on. I'm not closing my church. Period. There you go. Shove it. Well, we're going to come and get you. All right. Come and get me. That's what you want. That's not going to end well. I'm just putting it that way. Because these are the people that are coming to get you right here. The ones that are causing all the deaths they say they're trying to prevent. Because they're abortionists. They're of their father, the devil. And they want to carry out their father's desires. And he was a murderer from the beginning. Jesus speaking, John 8:44. Renowned immunologist Dr. Robert Clancy weighs in. The temporal link between vaccination and delayed mortality is biologically plausible. Immune dysregulation combined with vascular injury creates a perfect storm for late onset fatalities. We're trying to save your life while we're killing you. That'd be like somebody's drowning and you throw them a 100-pound barbell. Here you go, Bill. Bye, Bill. These findings demand immediate independent investigation. So you have Australia. I seem to remember Australia boosting the highest COVID vax rate, boasting about the highest COVID vax rate at 94%. Too weird. Australians aged in their 30s, Brent was just talking about this, and 40s are now experiencing unprecedented, and in some cases, world-leading rates of 10 different types of cancer. And scientists are desperate to understand why.
Huh.
Just like, I mean, Aaron, don't worry. They did an inquiry.
Oh, okay.
I mean, they did an inquiry. I mean, people are just dying everywhere. Now, people are finally dying the way that they wanted them to in COVID. But it's of turbo cancer, and they can't really use that to leverage in totalitarianism. So here you have it, and it's just like the Society of Actuaries. Society of Actuaries is, of course, all the consortium of life insurance companies. And they're all like, well, there's a 200-year level of excess death. There's more excess deaths right now than World War II. So we're like, how is that since the vaccine rollout? Once in a 200-year event, like it would be a 10% increase in excess mortality would be a 1 in 200-year event. We're way, way above that. I can't remember what the numbers are because it's been a while since I've actually talked about it. So we're way, way, you know, above that now. And the people in charge of paying out people with life insurance companies are going, we don't know why it is. I mean, but it started in February of 2021. That's where it all began. But yet the insurance companies have to remain their zombie apocalypse walking around with their hands around their ankles. Because if they don't, because everything is tied together via NGOs and government, they'll be put out of business by the government if they don't tote the government line. All right, where the heck am I? Next one for me. Cheryl Atkinson, is that where we're at?
Yep.
All right, Cheryl Atkinson tweet. Just a little problem here. I mean, it's just a minor problem. I mean, California hospital covered up surge and stillbirths after COVID shots. I mean, it's covered up. I mean, it's not a big deal. What everybody, I mean, agree. No, exact same thing happened in Canada, where you would basically have, on average, 1 to 2 stillbirths per year in the hospital. It goes up to 40 and nobody says a word. Aaron, do you know when that began? Can we think? Oh, February of 2021. Every time.
Weird.
Every single time. And everyone stands around acting like they don't know the answer. And what's worse is they all know the answers and say nothing. And they're the ones, they'll tell you, yeah, you know what? I would have been the one to hide Anne Frank during the Holocaust. And you can't even speak out about the unborn dying with zero. The trophy of all, the golden idol of all is people's jobs. I might lose my job. You know what? There's some things. I think it's my phone going off. There are some things that are actually worthy of you losing your job. You know what one of those things are? Is integrity and not going to hell. And by the way, if you just go God's way and you tithe, God will give you a way better job anyway. We're making 5 times what you're making now.
Yep.
That's what you do. It worked out for me. It'll work out for you. What God does for one, he'll do for everybody else. But here we go. California Hospital, Cheryl Atkinson. Covered up surge and stillbirths after COVID shots. Here is Cheryl Atkinson's article. I didn't make my time. I was supposed to be done by 9:32. 12 minutes over. All right. A whistleblower lawsuit, here we go, filed in the Superior Court of California, Fresno County, accuses Community Regional Medical Center of covering up dramatic rise in stillbirths following COVID-19 vaccination. Nurse Michelle Spencer, who has worked at the hospital since 2017, says the spike began, no pun intended, in spring of 2021, shortly after the rollout of the spike began in the spring of 2021.
What?
Not 2020 under COVID. Everyone was born just fine under COVID. Bird, I mean, you weren't. I mean, like if you're actually having a baby, then you weren't allowed to go in there with your wife. But beyond that, I mean, just going there alone.
That was me.
Yeah, Brian. I knew it was. Yeah. I thought it was you. I didn't want to pull. I wasn't sure if that happened or not. Yeah, you weren't allowed to go in. I mean, that's the thing. Tell your wife to go in there alone, have her baby alone. They destroy your life. But other than that, I mean, it's not because these are the precautions. When you have to take really, really steep precautions.
I mean, it's COVID.
It's COVID. I mean, if you have something that has a 0.001% of chance of killing you, you just need to shut down your whole life and the economy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got a 0.001% chance of killing
you. We're saving lives.
Right. We're saving lives. So, I guess what you have to do is lock us down whenever there's lightning anywhere in the state of Florida. Because it's about the same death rate. Yeah, I love all the people. I've seen this before. All the people that rejoiced at their survival. They're all clapping when they leave the hospital. You know,
heroes
you lived, you survived. That would be like me running in right now because there's a thunderstorm out here and lightning. And I come in and I hug Brent like I did after my son won his MMA fight. And I just grab all of them. And Brent, I lived. He's like, what are you? You're a freaking lunatic. And I'm leaving the church because you're a freaking wacko. Because I survived. I made it in. I didn't get struck by lightning. That's exactly what, that's how I looked at it the whole time. All these idiots riding around. My daughter sent me a pic from 2 days ago of an idiot sitting at a light alone in his car with a mask on.
Dude.
In 2025. And you can go to Democratic Party videos right now and Democratic Party events. A lot of them are masked. Zoran Mamdani, Aaron and I played it on the podcast with his group, his fundraising group or whatever it was, part of his campaign, bunch of socialists, literal. It's like the Socialist Party or whatever. And they're all masked. The guy had to take his mask off to finally talk into the podium. Unbelievable. I mean, it just is the way that it is. All right, back to the story. Who has worked at the hospital since 2017 says the spike, mysterious, I put the word mysterious in, it began in spring of 2021. Weird. Never saw it before. Shortly after the rollout of the COVID shots. Prior to that, the hospital reportedly saw one stillbirth per month. After the vaccine push, the number jumped to approximately 20 each month. So one stillbirth per month, just 20 times that, but we're going to do an inquiry. And has remained high ever since. So that, I want everybody, let's look at these numbers because that goes right into my 4 years of 15 days to flatten the curve. It's the same timeline. So here you go. So in all of those months, we'll say it started in the spring. It did start in the spring of 2021. So we'll say that it started in March of 2021. So you have all 9 months of that year with 20 excess stillbirths per month, and then all of 2022, all of 2023, all of 2024, and all of 2025 to date. It's still going on. Everyone thinks it's over. Now, can't we just move past COVID? No, not me. Not moving on, not when all these people are dying. These are stillbirths. These are babies that are making it almost a term and are dead right before they're born. According to the complaint, hospital management had access to internal data showing that nearly all the stillbirths occurred amongst, this harkens back to our Australian and our Japan 22 million cohort study, because all the stillbirths occurred, nearly all the stillbirths occurred among vaccinated mothers. And how much you want to bet it isn't nearly, it's all. Just like the 22 million person study that showed all the excess deaths amongst that group of people were among the vaccinated. That's it. The only people dying when they shouldn't were the vaccinated. That's it. But so they had this information, but suppressed that information. Spencer says the hospital left official files blank. You know when it shows that you're corrupt? When you're leaving things blank. When asked to provide the data to regulators and continue to promote COVID-19 vaccines to pregnant women. So imagine being that person. Thank God that you're not that person. Do you just thank God every day you're not that person? That you see that what you've pimped and hoarded is causing people to die, and you cover that up and you continue to pimp and hoard that information, even though you know it's causing people to die. Can you imagine continuing to propagandize something that's causing people to die after you know it's causing people to die? Can you imagine being that person? That's the entire Democratic Party. That's the entire COVID-pushing community. The entire COVID vaccine-pushing community. They knew that this was happening. They've known for years. It's still going on at that hospital. They used to have one stillbirth per month. They still, in 2025, now have 20. Because 80% of America got jabbed. And they're still getting jabbed. It's a small amount, but if you look at just the size of the Democratic Party, which is shrinking every day, thank God. But there's still large amounts of people that are, you know, getting vaccinated. Mandy Cohen, the former head of the CDC, was hoarding the vaccines from the moment till the moment she left office, till she was pushed out of office. All right, let's go to the next one. Wide awake media video. And this is what it's all about. You belong to your father, the devil. And you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning. Chief among murderers, Wide Awake Media video. Here's Billy. Play it for me.
Bill Gates just launched a contraceptive that lasts 8 years in Kenya, one of his favorite testing grounds. This guy's just obsessed with reducing the global population.
Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, healthcare, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%.
His foundation just committed $2.5 billion in what they like to call women's health. Who the f*** are you kidding? His investments in vaccines and pharmaceuticals did nothing but hurt women and children. Look at the birth rates and how much harder it got for women to get pregnant. In what world will anyone believe that he's doing these projects from the kindness of his heart, from his foundation? The agenda is to make us weak and sick and infertile as part of a long-term plan for population control. The cat's out of the bag. Don't get fooled by the pink sweater and the glasses. He's a little demon rat.
That's exactly what he is. And again, you have it right now. And Aaron, you put out this, and we need to like re-release it. We actually need to make that part of the podcast for a while. That video you made about the real reason why we do this podcast. This is the reason why we do this podcast, because Bill Gates ties it all in. Again, the reason why I do this podcast is not really for politics. It's really about the Book of Revelation. It's really about what I saw come out during COVID. Remember, I told you I was a happy man prior to COVID. Lived in sweet oblivion. It was great. And you're like, Tom, would you go back? Yeah, I'd go back. Okay. I mean, do I want to know the truth? Not so much. I mean, it was great. I mean, it really was. I mean, but now it's over. I already know. I took the red pill. It's gone. So it is what it is. I didn't even voluntarily take it. I didn't even get the choice. You know, take the blue pill. You go back into oblivion. You take the red pill, and now you know it all. I didn't even get the choice. I didn't even get that. You know, the choice. You know, so. Like the Matrix. I mean, you got Neo got the choice, but I didn't. So it just COVID happened and I got red pilled. But anyway, and I mean, I was a solid conservative before that, solid Christian before that, but I'm just saying now I know. So this really, Bill Gates in and of himself, just as a man, sums up and embodies the entirety of the reason of this podcast. The reason for this podcast is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 to be the restraining that God has called us to be to the Antichrist spirit. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 3 through 8, read it on your own. We are called to be that restraining. And how it was the church restraining during the 5 years of 15 days to flatten the curve, 4 years of 15 days to flatten the curve. No, they were absolute bent over whores. That's what the church was during that time. So obviously the church no longer really believes the Bible or reads the Bible or both. But anyway, Bill Gates embodies the entire reason why we have this podcast. Because what Bill Gates wants to do is leverage the world into a one world commerce system. That's what it is. Leverage all the death and all the vaccines, all that is about leveraging us into a one world commerce system with a singular access point controlled by people like Bill Gates. That is it. That is what it's all about. That is the Book of Revelation chapter 13. That is the Book of Revelation chapter 14, the Mark of the Beast, where the singular access into that system is the Mark of the Beast. You can't buy, sell, trade, or travel. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their forehead, that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark of the name of the beast or the number of his name. That's what it's all about. That's what COVID was all about, was to lay the infrastructure down for social credit systems. To lay the infrastructure down for biometric real IDs, that is what it was about. And the vaccine passports built that digital infrastructure. That's what it was all about. If they could have used the vaccine at the time, there weren't people like you and I standing up and rebelling against those things, it'd already be in place because the digital infrastructure is already in place. But that is what it's all about, leveraging you into a one-world commerce system with a singular access point controlled by them. That is it. 15 minutes in is you can't leave without them tracking you. You can't enter in without them knowing it. You can't leave without them knowing you. Everything's electric, so they can turn your power on and off. Everything is a QR-coded mark of the beast. All of on your phones, on your devices, until it turns out to be on your right hand or on your forehead. And there is no hard cash assets. There are no hard copies. It's all digital money, digital passports, digital credit cards. So that somebody is at the spigot of your finances. They're at the spigot of your power. I mean, your power, like your electric. They're at the spigot of it. There's no more gas. There's no more gold. There's no more real estate. You're in a 15-minute city in your 250-square-foot coffin with your 57 times vaccinated. I'm not making up that number. That's what they want, 57 vaccinations for you. And you'll live to about that number of years if you're lucky. So you have Bill Gates here trying to lower the Earth's population. Massive success so far. He's done well. 35 million excess deaths since the vaccine rollout. And that's people with life insurance. That's how we track the numbers. So it's far more than that. So he develops an 8-year contraceptive. I've never even heard of that. You? Anybody out here ever heard of an 8-year contraceptive? How many of you know it won't be 8 years? How many of you know it's permanent?
Yeah.
It's a permanent contraceptive because he doesn't want there to be he wants excess deaths, not excess births. And of course, he was calling for, and explain to me the logic behind this, saying if we do a really good job with healthcare and vaccines, we'll lower the Earth's population by 10 to 15%. If you did a great job, wouldn't you raise the Earth's population? If we do medical, I mean, wouldn't you save a whole bunch of lives? Even if you actually lowered the birth rates, the population would go up if vaccines and medical procedures were saving lives. That makes sense, Aaron?
Yeah.
But not Bill. He says he wants to lower the Earth's population using vaccines. Well, he's done a really good job with that because he's killed a lot of people with his polio vaccines. Now it's been pretty much proven now that all modern polio is from the vaccines. Lyme disease escaped from a lab. It's vaccine related. I mean, it's them every single time. There's no polio occurring right now that doesn't go back to a Bill Gates polio vaccine. He paralyzed 496,000 kids in India alone. That's why he's not really allowed back in India. That's why he's back in Africa. Why doesn't he try his 8-year contraceptives here? It's so blatantly corrupt, obvious and murderous. Why is it never called out by anybody? Because it's not politically expedient for them to do so. It's not financially expedient for them to do so. If I'm Jake Tapper, and I know Jake Tapper knows Bill Gates paralyzed 496,000 kids in India, but doesn't report about it because it's not financially beneficial for him to do so. What a whore. What an absolute whore to be someone like that. And Bill, how it's all summed up in Bill Gates, how he's the actual living embodiment of the leveraging into a one world commerce system, is what else is Billy working on? Well, he's working on quantum dot tattoo technology via Gavi MasterCard. Well, Gavi is, of course, the vaccine alliance for World Vaccine Alliance, but why is it tied into MasterCard, Aaron? That's coincidence.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, it's just coincidence. Yeah. The vaccines are tied, quantum dot tattoo technology is tied in with Gavi, which is the World Vaccine Board, and then it tied in with MasterCard. So that you actually have the ability to create a quantum dot tattoo linked to vaccination status that allows you access to buy, sell, trade, or travel via MasterCard. That's weird, isn't it? Mm. And where does the quantum dot tattoo? It's very odd because all these, the people are talking about the chip technology and all that. They may have a part in it. It's going to be quantum dot tattoo. It'll be a QR code visible on your right hand or on your forehead. And it's weird because where does everybody get those chips every time? Ever notice? On their right hand.
Yep.
Every time. Because, I mean, the left, which is the Libyan embodiment of the 2025 Nazi party, which is just the same demons, because demons are eternal, your soul is eternal, angels are eternal, God's eternal, Satan's eternal. Some people spend eternity in hell. Some people spend eternity in heaven, most in hell. Narrow's the way and few find it, Matthew 7, 13 and 14. But anyway, Bill wants to lower the Earth's population, but it's not as simple as that. He wants to actually bring about Revelation chapter 13 and 14 to actually make it where you have to meet his standards to be able to buy, sell, trade, or travel. That's what it is. That's the reason why we have this podcast. I just always want to make that very clear to everybody. Is yeah, listen, I'm about to go into something else right now, but there's a lot of reasons why I do it, and it's not vaccines is part of it. COVID is part of it. I mean, Trump wants to use Palantir to push forward real ID. Folks, that's right out of the pit of hell. I mean, even the age verification online. Well, that's good to keep kids safe. Yeah, Aaron, you know who's supposed to keep your son safe?
Me?
Yeah, that'd be you.
Yeah.
Not the government. If he doesn't want his son online watching porn, then Aaron will make sure his son's not online watching porn.
Yep.
Not the government with ID verification, age verification. It always sounds good. That's what they're using to ban speech in the EU, in Australia, in New Zealand. We're just trying to keep people safe. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, and there is no escape. We want to keep people safe. That's what they always say to take away your rights. We're taking away your rights, but we're keeping you safe. I'll keep my rights. Thanks. And I'll worry about my own safety. Appreciate it. But that's whether it's, and you have to, like, Trump, does Trump know about the book of Revelation? Does he know about the plan of the Antichrist spirit, beast one, beast two, the devil, the dragon is to leverage all of us into a one world commerce system with a singular access point? Does he know that? No, Trump doesn't know that. He thinks, you know what, it'd be nice to not have to go to a doctor's office and say, can you transfer my medical files? It's all just digital. They simply push a couple buttons. They got a tech guy, you know, that goes from office to office, someone like Aaron, keeps it all running all the time. And you just push a button, all your medical records are transferred.
Yeah.
All government contracts are under Palantir. All government interactions are under Palantir. All purchasing, buy, sell, trade, travel is under Palantir. You know, who happened to fund J.D. Vance's entire political career. But again, it's all coincidental. I mean, that they have this huge influence now, but they didn't under Biden, who couldn't have been more, there's nobody more evil than Joe Biden, outside of probably Billy Gates. But anyway, all right, so let me change subjects. That'll be the end of the show if I keep talking about it. But anyway, let me show you this one. And then people are like, Thomas, anti-Israel. No, I'm not anti-Israel. I am more pro-Israel than I am pro-Muslim or pro-Hamas. Absolutely. But this is all about what's true. Would everybody agree that we need to tell the truth about Hamas?
Yep.
And then we need to tell the truth about Joe Biden. We need to tell the truth about about Donald Trump. We need to tell the truth about Palantir. We need to tell the truth about Bill Gates. We need to tell the good truth and the bad truth. Would everybody agree to that? Aaron agrees. I mean, the truth is simply what is true. This is true. This just happened. So it doesn't have anything to do with being pro-Israel. Where do I stand? Do I think that we should be a lapdog for Israel and fight all of Israel's wars and give them $4 billion a year in military assistance? No. I think we ought. Is Israel an ally or a vassal state? Is Israel a ally or a benefactor of the United States? They're a benevolent benefactor of the United States. They exist under the shelter of our wing. But now they don't, because they have, it's estimated, 1,000 nuclear weapons. They don't need us anymore, but yet we still give them money because they want money. See, I look at them the same way as I look at France. I look at them the same way I look at the UK. Do they do some good things? Yeah, and rare these days. You got Macron married to a man. I mean, it's rare they do good things. Keir Starmer covering up mass child rapes for Muslims, namely Pakistanians, Pakistanis. But other than that, but anyway, so I just look at them honestly. Does Israel harbor pedophiles? Absolutely. It's on the record. I mean, they do. You can't. They refuse to turn over pedophiles, extradite pedophiles out of Israel. So if you have a pedophile commit a crime, and that's what we're about to look at, in the United States, and they run to Israel because they're Jewish, Israel will not extradite them back to the United States. Glenn Greenwald, what is the non-conspiratorial explanation for why 8 people were arrested in a sting for arranging to meet children for sex? Not even child porn here. We're talking about they're arranging to meet and have sex with little kids. And one of them is an Israeli official. Is quickly released, an Israeli official, is quickly released on bail without his passport seized.
Hmm.
Does that ever happen? I mean, again, I'm sitting in the room with a cop right here, another cop. That doesn't happen, folks, ever. Okay, you don't just get released when you're being charged with arranging to rape children. Hey, you know, what's the bail? Oh, I don't know, 10 grand. No, they don't get released, okay? But this Israeli official gets released without taking his passport, so he's free to fly. And guess what he did? He freely flew.
Yeah.
Is quickly released on bail without his passport seized, thus ensuring he'd flee back to Israel, which he did. Go to the next one for me, Brent. U.S. State Department tweet. No, we didn't do anything wrong. We didn't do anything. The Department of State, which is under Marco Rubio, is aware that Tom Artyom Alexandrovich, an Israeli citizen, was arrested in Vegas. Everything that happens in Vegas, I guess, doesn't stay in Vegas. And given a court date, he's arranging to meet and rape kids. And what's he given? Aaron, don't worry.
Oh.
He's given a court date.
Oh, well.
I mean,
if it's okay, a court date.
It's a court date. I mean, it's just like all the illegals. They're given a 9-year court date.
Yeah, they're going to show up.
Yeah, of course they're going to show up. You just trust people.
I mean, come on.
You always trust people.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you do. Isn't that how you live a long life? Isn't that a Bible verse somewhere?
Yeah.
Live a long life by trusting idiots.
People are good, you know?
Yeah, right. The human heart is desperately wicked, is what Jeremiah 17:9 says. But anyway, an Israeli citizen was arrested in Viva Las Vegas and given a court date for charges related to soliciting sex electronically from a minor. He did not claim diplomatic immunity and was released anyway by a state judge pending a court date. Any claims the U.S. government intervened are false. Well, you know what the government should have done? Intervene.
Yeah.
And this is a man who is a diplomat from Israel. You should have intervened and put a hold on him. But did that happen? No. I wonder why. Because he's Israeli. You're not allowed to do it. You're not allowed to touch the subject. You're not allowed to touch it because allegedly in the book of Genesis, it said to Abram that if you bless Abram, you'll be blessed. And if you curse Abram, you'll be cursed. This is before he was even named Abraham. So it has nothing to do with the nation of Israel. Now, what you do with Israel is treat them the way that you would any other ally, vassal state, benevolent benefactor, whatever it is. That's how you treat them. And by the way, they're not a great ally because they never actually assist us in any wars.
Yep.
Except they don't even assist us in the wars that they instigate for us to fight.
Yep.
And we're fighting in Iraq. Where were all the Israeli soldiers? Nowhere to be found. They're nowhere to be found. We're fighting in various times in Syria, Lebanon, side by side with the Israelis. Never.
Nope.
Never. Not one time. So the State Department claims no responsibility whatsoever. Go to the next one for me. The interim U.S. attorney, Israel Exposed tweet, the interim U.S. attorney for Nevada, and this is so everybody knows, I don't think that Israel's behind every evil thing. I think it's odd that Israel's involved in the many evil things that they are involved in, though, and that needs to be talked about. Would everybody agree? That's all. Doesn't mean it's a Jew behind every corner. Well, is a Jew causing everything? No, it's not. I mean, the main, credit Alex Jones, I heard him because he gave the same dissertation today. The main threat to the world is basically BlackRock, in all honesty. Larry Fink and BlackRock, which is a consortium, really, of the World Economic Forum. That's really it, and I don't have time to get into it. But later we will. Well, not on this podcast, but later in the week. Maybe, if it pops up correctly. But Israel Exposed tweet, the interim U.S. attorney for Nevada, responsible for not prosecuting Alexandrovich. Thank you. Yep. Alexandrovich. I might keep that in your head.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Alexandrovich is Sigal Chata, an Israeli born citizen. Strange. I'll bet you she has dual citizenship too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but again, just a coincidence. I mean, Tom Alexandrovich just gets released in a way that nobody else on planet Earth would ever be released. And the person who decides to release him, now Israel Exposed gets it wrong a little bit because he says that Sigal Chata is not prosecuted. Oh, he's being prosecuted because he was given a court date, but allowed to leave the country and flee to a country that will never extradite him back to answer the court date. So is he being prosecuted? No. The person who decided not to prosecute Netanyahu's Israeli government official for child pedophilia in Las Vegas is an Israeli-born Zionist, Jewish Zionist. There you go. I mean, that is how you have to honestly deal with this. So somebody in this thread asked Gronk, is this true? Here's what Gronk said about it. Sigal Chata is indeed acting U.S. attorney for Nevada, born in Israel, and identifies as Jewish with pro-Israel views. However, Tom, get ready, Aaron, Alexandrovich, got it, faces state felony charges for luring a minor. No federal charges, though, were filed. State Department denies any U.S. intervention. The claim of not prosecuting is misleading because he has a court date, although he'll never be prosecuted, so it's actually correct.
Yeah.
So there you go. And that's how you have to honestly deal with things. You have to deal with AIPAC. You have to say, why is it that most... Everybody, with the exception of, and from what I know, of Marjorie Taylor Greene and Thomas Massey, are the only ones not receiving AIPAC money in the Congress, Republican and Democrat. So doesn't that then negate Republicanism and Democratism when everybody's getting money from the same group of people that claim not to be a foreign lobbying group because their office is in Washington, D.C., but they're not a foreign lobbying group? But they lobby on behalf of Israel, but they're not a foreign lobbying group. Aaron just sent me some August 15, 2025. Oh, there was. That's what I thought. I wasn't sure. Well, yeah, there you go. Larry Fink has been named chairman of WF. And that's why Alex Jones was talking about it. I thought that's what Alex Jones said, but I didn't want to say because I didn't know it for sure. So there you go. That's really the number one threat to the world.
Yeah.
So it's and now, does Israel do a lot of evil things? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And but so do we. None of us, blindly just follow the United States. We question everything. We adhere to the laws of the United States of America as a citizen. But we don't blindly follow it. We talk, we criticize Joe Biden. We criticize Donald Trump. We criticize everything. That's what you do. You just speak the truth. That's what you do. You don't just simply Ted Cruz. Oh, yeah, we're going to do anything Israel says because in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, it says, if you bless Abram, you'll be blessed. And if you curse Abram, you'll be cursed. So you know what? We're going to just blindly do whatever Israel tells us to do. You know what? They got a pedophile arrested in Las Vegas. We're going to release them. I'm going to be blessed for it. I'm going to be blessed because I released an Israeli Zionist pedophile. Imagine preaching that for the pulpit.
Oh my
hey, gosh. I got a message title for everybody today. How to be blessed by releasing pedophiles by Tom Lively. But don't worry. Oh, how to be blessed by releasing Israeli pedophiles. There because you if you bless Abram, you'll be blessed. Was Abram a pedophile? No, that would be Muhammad.
Yeah, true.
All right, let's have some fun for a minute. This is a John Root video, but it's under Steve in 2A. Here's the latest rage right now. The male cheerleaders in the NFL. Play for me.
So 12 NFL teams have added male cheerleaders, and we're not talking about the atypical male cheerleader that you're used to, but one of those teams has two male cheerleaders, the Minnesota Vikings. No one asked for this. Here's the Patriots. No one wants to see a man act like a woman on NFL sidelines. This used to be something we made fun of, like Robin Williams when he became the first official male cheerleader in the NFL in the 70s. Like, he's joking about dressing up like a woman, Mrs. Doubtfire F. Now the NFL is embracing it? What are we doing? What do you think, though? Is this a bad direction for the NFL? I don't think it should be a part of the NFL at all.
You know, last year I went to a Bucks game. It was great. It was on my birthday or near my birthday. And it was a great time. But there was, Brent said that Bucks were the very first to do it, which is very disappointing. Okay, because that's the team that I root for. But anyway, so I saw a male cheerleader out there. I'm like, and I'm always avoiding looking at the cheerleaders because I don't want to lust over it. I want to sin. So I just kind of avoid the cheerleaders at all costs during the entire game. Like whenever they're prancing around, I'm looking the other direction. But look at this right here from the Patriots. I mean, I'm...
You won't have that problem.
Yeah, luckily the lust problem's over. It's like, yeah. I tell you, you know what? If you have a gay son, I need to send you a picture of me shirtless because you won't be gay anymore. You'll have no desire for the male figure. Okay? So, that's why I won't send you a picture of me shirtless if you have a daughter because I want her to actually desire men. Well, I mean, look at this. Here's the Vikings. I mean, this is what's happening. I mean, oh my gosh. You know.
Dude.
You know, here we are. So, and why are they all doing this? You honestly believe that any of these owners believe in this? This is how weak people are. Mm-hmm. Absolute devoid of integrity, devoid of a spine, devoid of all human dignity when you allow that to be one of your cheerleaders. Look at these gay. Oh, gosh, I want to say horrible things.
Yeah.
I mean, there's it's not F-U-C-K, but there's an F word that's floating around in my mind right now that I just want to say over and over again. Don't say it, Aaron.
Yeah.
So I'm like, what on earth? And here's the thing. Here's my beef. And I said this from the pulpit. I don't know if it was this week or last. It was last week. If you look at these men pretending to be women, okay, they're gay, obviously. Okay, most of them are receivers. And like these two gay guys right here. So they're acting like women. And they're probably married to or dating or whatever, living with a guy who's more manly. So you're still pseudo following the norm. You have one feminine and one masculine. So if you are a man desiring a feminine man, why don't you just desire women?
Right.
Why would you choose whisker on whisker crime? Why would you ever choose a hairy rear end? I mean, why would you ever want to bed that? I mean, why would you ever want to bed that? He has a mustache while acting like a woman. Okay, like for me, that was a disqualifier when dating. If I saw a woman with a mustache, that's over. I mean, listen, I know that women have facial hair and stuff like that. If I don't know, then I don't know. Keep it private. I don't know. Okay, but like, I just don't get it. If you just operate logically and you're like, okay, we're still following the cardboard cutout of one of us is masculine and one of us is feminine, then doesn't that tell you that you're wrong when both of you are men? Why don't you just desire a female? I mean, it makes absolutely no sense. But anyway, I just can't get over these images. Like John wrote up there. Oh my gosh. And it unreal. All right, 10-16. That's good. Oh, look at the Rumble Rant list tonight. Rumble Rants, Texas Billy, $50. Jules, 21 hours, $25. Alligator Alcatraz, $25. Nate Dad, one, $20. Oh, big ones too, guys. Thank you so much. D9597, $20. A Wethy, that's somebody you're familiar with, isn't it, Brent?
A little bit.
$20. Love you guys. Appreciate you so much in the rant. There's good news now. Brent's going to get paid tonight. We're going to be able to pay him in pastry. That's yes. What he gets a diet soda and a pastry every Monday and Friday.
Yeah, that somebody came in here and raided the zebra cake. So.
He's already got the zebra?
No.
They got raided.
Oh, they're gone. Well, Aaron's got a key to the closet.
Yeah.
All right, but anyway, appreciate you guys so much in the rant. Stick around for the post game. Also love all of you guys in the chat. We're trying to come up with a way to kind of steal Nick Fuentes is what's it called in Super Chat.
Yeah,
trying Super to figure Chats. Out. Aaron's on it. He'll try to figure out something. Try to do something where we can communicate a little bit. You can send in a question to actually have it read digitally. So for rants, but Nick jumps around Rumble to do it because with Rumble you have to give like 40% of it to Rumble or 30% of it to Rumble. Aaron knows the stats, but anyway, we're looking into it. Maybe there's a way for us to do a little Super Chat at the end of the show so we can communicate. But anyway, I love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you back here tomorrow night at 9 o'clock. Stick around for the post game. Love you all. God bless you.